Good morning. So glad to be here. So glad to be here again this year to the conference. It's always good to get up here and hear the fun little accents you guys have. And, you don't think you have an accent, do you? But you do. Not I, but you do. You know, we've had some great studies this week and some great lectures on faith. It's been an encouragement to me to hear these. You know that Paul spoke to us the other day about a progression of faith. And he said this, that faith is based on evidence. And the evidence is in the Word of God itself. And sometimes we think that faith is just kind of blind faith. Someone says something, we believe it. But faith is based on evidence in the Word of God. Then yesterday, Brad told us about a joyful faith, how we should be joyful in our faith to the Lord. And he talked about some hindrances to that joy that we should have in our faith to the Lord. Today I want to talk about an obvious faith, or a faith that shows. So if you turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2, and even though these verses, some of these verses may be printed out, it's good to look at it in the Word of God so you get familiar with what it, where it's at. So James chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should have a faith in our lives that shows. I will show you my faith by the things that I do. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. In verse 26, Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, and when he found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now notice it doesn't say that the disciples called themselves Christians, but they were called Christians. And why do you think that they were called Christians? Wouldn't you think it was because the people who saw them saw their faith, saw that they were like Christ, and they began to call them Christians? I would much rather someone call me a Christian than me to have to tell them I'm a Christian. I would rather they see it. I'd rather they see the faith that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ by the works that I do, so I can manifest the truth to the world that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we all do, and we'll see this on our paper here, we all trust in something or somebody to certain degrees we do. Some examples are when we work all week long, we trust our boss is going to pay us. We trust our court systems to be fair. Maybe they're not always, but we trust them to be fair. We trust our gas gauges to tell us when we're out of gas. You guys all came in here and sat down today. I didn't see anybody test the chair first to see if it's going to hold you up. You just came in and sat down. You trusted that chair was going to hold you up. The reason I bring up the gas gauge is just a few weeks ago, I was driving down the road with a quarter of a tank of gas, and you know what happened? I ran out of gas. And boy, it's frustrating. And so I had to call my daughter to come bring me some gas, and you know, I haven't trusted my gas gauge since. It has not gone below a quarter of a tank since then. And it could have been that the float in the tank just got stuck, but I don't trust it yet. And as we travel from North Carolina here, whenever we got close to a quarter of a tank, we'd pull over and get some gas. I just don't trust it. And trust is like that, isn't it? Faith is like that. If someone lets you down, it's hard to have faith in them again. It's hard to trust them again. And faith in itself is a logical thing because, like I said, we all trust in something or somebody. We trust in our parents to take care of us, to give us good direction. We place a measure of trust in someone according to their love, their honesty, and their ability. That's the way I broke that down. Now, Scripture teaches us that God is love. Scripture teaches us the Lord Jesus says, I am the truth. And Scripture teaches us that the Lord is abundantly, He's able abundantly above all that we think or ask to give us what we need. And so, the one that we love, the one that is honest, or the one that loves us, the one that is honest, the one who has the most ability is the Lord Himself. Sometimes we make promises that we just can't keep. Sometimes people lie to us and make promises. And some people don't love us, and so we can't trust them at all. But the Lord Jesus is the embodiment of all these things, of the love, the honesty, the ability. And that's why we can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely. And having exercised faith in the Lord Jesus to salvation, now we should live a life of faith, trusting everything that He says. And maybe I can give you this challenge. If the Lord ever lies to you, don't have faith in Him. Do you think that's going to happen? No. It is not going to happen. Matter of fact, as we know from the tract that Doug wrote, God can't lie. So we won't find Him ever caught in a lie. We never have to doubt His love. We never have to doubt His ability. So the life that we live now as believers should evidence that we do trust, that we have faith in the Lord to do what He said He's going to do. I have a little typo here. I have that faith is in the Old Testament two times. And it's 229 times in the New Testament. Now, it's not that there wasn't faith in the Old Testament. There was a lot of faith in the Old Testament. But it seems that there's so much attention drawn to it in the New Testament that 229 times we find the word, this is in the King James, by faith we find 37 times, and through faith we find 15 times. So we see that things are being accomplished. Things are being done by the power of faith in the believer. Now, I'd like to go through a few examples here with us today about what we can do through faith. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. And faith says, I can. And this is what Philippians 4:13 says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, how many of you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Good. How many of you believe that you can trust the Bible to be true? How many of you believe the Bible absolutely? Good. Now, I'm going to ask for a couple of volunteers. I'd like one person to volunteer who has a car in the parking lot. Would somebody raise their hand and be a volunteer for us? Okay? Stand up if you don't mind. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do in a minute is to go take your car and go to one end of the parking lot. Now, I need one more volunteer. Okay, you're being my volunteer. I'd like for you to lay down in front of his car, and you drive over him, and you believe, you say, I can do that without getting hurt. Would you be willing to do that? Well, I picked the wrong guy here. But what do you think it means? I can do all things through Christ. Do you think you could actually do that and not get hurt? Well, probably not. Jump off a building and not get hurt. You can't do it, can you? So how do we understand this? I can do all things through Christ. I think that the answer is found in the end of that verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Everything the Lord gives you the power to do, you can do. Everything the Lord asks you to do, He will give you the power to do, and you can do it. Now, the lack of faith says, I just can't do that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. We'll look at a few verses here. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. The Lord had asked Moses to speak for Him. To Pharaoh, and he says in verse 1, Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Let's look at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." So the Lord had told Moses, "I want you to go talk to Pharaoh." And first he gave an excuse, "They won't listen to me." And then he said, "I'm just not a good speaker. I'm not the man that you need." And that is what a lack of faith will do. When the Lord tells you to do something, you say, "I can't do it." And that's a lack of faith because you're not trusting the Lord to give you the power to do what He's asked you to do. And He will. He will do that. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me to do that." Let's look down at verse 13. "And I caution you about telling the Lord I can't." Look what happens. "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt." In other words, "Lord, pick somebody else." "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and I will put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do." And he pretty much used Aaron to help Moses because he just didn't believe he could do it. You know, in one sense, it's true. We can do very, very little. And without faith, we cannot please God at all. But if the Lord gives us something to do, we need to have faith in the Lord that I can do that because the Lord will give me the strength to do it. So it should never be, "I can't do that." If the Lord would have us to do it, we can do it. And that really will go in every direction of our lives. If we go to school, "Can I make an A?" "Yes, I can." When we go to work, "Can I do the best of my ability every day?" "Yes, you can." If the Lord would have you stand up and speak, "Can you do that?" "Yes, you can." If the Lord lays on your heart to tell a friend or a neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ, "Can you do that?" "Yes, you can." If He gives you the will to do it, if He tells you to do it, He will give you the strength to do it. So it should not be in the vocabulary of the believer, "I cannot do that." It is, "I can do that through the strength of Christ." Let's keep going. Faith says, "I will." Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. I'll just begin reading from verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my lips, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." So faith says, "I will." Who can I send? Who can I send to this lady who needs to hear the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can I send to this man who is not saved? Who can I send to this family who has suffered the death of a loved one and is mourning and is grieving? Who can I send? Will you raise your hand to the Lord and say, I'll do it. I'll do it." That's what faith will do. "Lord, use me. I'm here for you to use. Send me. I will go." Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Here Peter's on a rooftop and he has a vision. The Lord sends down a sheet of all these types of animals. And he tells Peter, kill and eat. Verse 13 of Acts chapter 10, there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." So where faith says, "I will," lack of faith says, "I won't." Can you imagine the Lord telling you something to do and you say no? And then you try to excuse it with, "I've never eaten anything unclean." And the amazing thing to me of what this is that Peter calls him Lord and tells him no at the same time. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? So lack of faith will tell us to tell the Lord, "No, no, I will not do it." But faith says, "I will." Says, "I will." We need to evidence that faith in our lives, don't we? We need to have enough faith in the Lord that even if He tells us something that we don't completely understand, that we'll say, "Yes, I will." That's what faith is. Taking God at His Word. As we learned in a little bit in our class yesterday, God's ways are past finding out. And sometimes maybe we don't understand exactly why the Lord wants us. Why me? Why me? Why not someone else? Why do you want me to do this? And we tend to question the Lord. But faith, when the Lord says, "Do this," our response will be, "Okay, I will. I will do that." A lack of faith says, "I will do it later." I'd like for us to kind of start this one backwards. Let's look at Genesis chapter 11 and verse 32. So lack of faith says, "I will do it later." And Genesis 11:32 says, "And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Now, who is Terah? Who is his son? Does anybody remember? Abraham's father. Thanks. Now look at verse 1 in chapter 12. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Now, the very expression there that the Lord had said to Abram gives me the thought that the Lord had already told Abram sometime before, "Get out of the land." But looking back at verse 32 in chapter 11, we see that he waited until his father died. And then he went. So a lack of faith will say, "I will do it later." And some will say, "Well, let me go first bury my father. Let me go first marry." But faith will say, "I'll do it, and I will do it right now." And with that, with the same man, let's go to Genesis chapter 22. A story that I'm sure we're all familiar with. "It came to pass after these things," verse 1, "that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning." Early in the morning. With something that I'm sure sounded so strange to him, that the Lord would have him take his son Isaac and give him as an offering. And I'm sure that Abraham didn't have an understanding exactly of what the Lord, why the Lord wanted him to do this, but he rose up early in the morning. And faith will have us respond quickly to the Word of God. I know this from experience. If I feel the leading of the Lord to do something, and I begin to reason within myself, is this really what the Lord wants? This doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I should wait a while. I find that I don't do it at all. But to respond to the Lord in an immediate way, when He says, "This is what I want you to do," faith will say, "Okay, and I will do it right away." And not wait till someone dies, not wait till something happens, but we will be obedient to Him right away. Psalm 27. Well, faith says, I will not fear. And Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Faith says, I will not fear. The Lord is my strength. Why should I be afraid? Who shall I be afraid of? If the Lord is my strength and the Lord is guiding me, what is the reason for fear? There's one thing that casts out fear. Do you know what that is? Anybody? Perfect love casts out fear. And if we are really in touch with the Lord and understand His love for us, there'll be no fear. So when the Lord asks us to do something and it seems like maybe it might be a little dangerous or it seems like I'm not equipped or I'm not the right person, faith in the Lord will drive that fear out. And I'll do it. I will do it. Lack of faith says, I'm afraid. Let's turn to John chapter 6. And I'll begin with verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, they were afraid. But even in their fear, how good is the Lord to say, it is I. Be not afraid. Fear does not belong in the presence of the Lord. And in faith, we can say, I will not be afraid. Whom shall I fear? Now, the fear of the Lord is a good thing, isn't it? We learn that it's the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of man brings a snare. If I'm afraid of what some man is going to do to me when I'm trying to do the Lord's will, then probably I won't do it. I had a friend at work who's a believer. I really had a lot of good times of fellowship with him, but at times sitting in his office and during break times and stuff, we would sit and talk about the Lord in a normal tone of voice. But if people would walk by the hall, he would lower his voice. And if they passed by, he'd get back to a normal tone again. It's almost as if he was a little bit afraid to hear people hear him talking about the Lord. And I can't say that I've never done that myself. But what it was a fear of man. I'm a little afraid of what people might think if they hear me talking about the Lord. I'm a little afraid they might laugh at me. Or maybe they won't want to be my friend anymore. I'm a little afraid of that. And it brings a snare. If I'm afraid of you, chances are I'm not going to tell you about the Lord. And if we have fear in our hearts, chances are we're going to say, I can't, I won't, I'm afraid. But with our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that through faith, I can, I will, and I will do it now. We can, as we saw in Philippians, do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Just for a good example here. Here's a man named Saul, who's on his way to Damascus to find Christians and put him into jail. This man's name would later be changed to Paul. This is the Apostle Paul, and this is the account of his conversion, how that he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord met him there. And this is a remark that Saul made in verse 6. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I encourage you to have the same attitude. Lord, what do you want me to do? Tell me what to do, and that is what I will do. That's an obvious faith. That's a living faith. Lord, what do you want me to do? Look at the Lord's answer. In the same verse, the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou should do. Now, he only told him to do one thing. Go into the city, and there somebody will tell you what to do. There it will be told to you what to do. He gave him one instruction. And I believe that the life of a believer is this. Obey what the Lord tells you to do and wait for further instructions. So we have faith moment by moment. And the Lord doesn't always just give us an outline. I want you to do this Monday, Tuesday, this is what I want you to do. Wednesday, I want you to go here. But no, He says, do this. And then I will tell you what else you should do. And so faith is trusting the Lord to do exactly that. One thing at a time, one step at a time, the Lord will direct us. And I dare say when He gives us one thing to do and we say no, or I can't, or I won't, it may be a while before we get the next instruction until our faith builds up in Him. And we can trust Him to do what He tells us to do. We can trust Him to give us the strength to do what He tells us to do. Even when it seems illogical, even when we don't understand why He wants us to do it, we can trust Him. And then He will give us further instruction. 2 Corinthians 5:7, you don't need to turn there, says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Those not saved live by the world's standards. Let's do look at this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. In Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way we lived before we were saved. According to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? Who? Satan. We walked according to his will. But now as believers, we live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now as believers, we walk according to a whole different direction. And it should be seen in our lives. I don't think it's possible for a person to be saved and it not show. Because we're walking in a different direction. We're following a different someone. We're not following the course of the world. We're not following Satan anymore. We're following the Lord. And in that sense, we're going in the opposite direction. And that's how believers are to live. Live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. May we all have this obvious faith. May it be in our hearts to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that tells me that I really don't know what I should do. I'm not smart enough. I don't see far enough in the future to know what I should do. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to obey you. I want to honor you. I have a list. I have just a couple minutes. I have a list of people here. And I'm going to see who knows them right off the bat. If you know the answer to these, just call it right out. Faith allows you to trust the Lord to command birds to bring you food. Who is this man? Elijah. Faith allows you to build a huge ship to sail above God's judgment. Faith allows a woman to give birth to a son when she is 90 years old. Wow, you guys are smart. Faith allows you to give up all your riches so you can suffer for Christ's sake. That could be terrible, couldn't it? Moses. Thank you. If you read the reference, you'll see it is to Moses. Faith allows you to walk on water in the middle of a fierce storm. Peter. Faith allows a simple farmer to defeat a great army with a great enemy with a tiny army. Gideon. Faith allows you to praise the Lord when you lose everything and your children are killed. Job. And faith allows you to endure being in prison for your testimony of the Lord's truth. Paul's one. Read the reference. Not Isaiah. Read the reference, and whoever can come back and tell me who that is. I would appreciate that. But these were men and women, just like you and I, who by faith did some incredible things. Hebrews actually tells us of some who were cut in half by faith. So again, the Lord will strengthen us to do anything He asks us to do. If we trust the Lord, if we trust His love, His honesty, His ability, let's follow the Lord. Not by our own eyes, but let's follow the Lord. And let's say, I would say every morning, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Let's pray. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we have faith in for salvation and we can have faith in our daily lives. We thank that as He calls us to do certain things, He strengthens us to do those things. And those things that He would have us to do would bring glory and honor to His name. Father, may we all have a heart to live by faith and to show others our faith by our works, by following Thee, by being obedient to Thee. We've seen a little bit of example, Father, of ordinary people who have done incredible things as they followed Thee. And so can we. Give us a heart to always be before Thee saying, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? We give Thee our thanks for our time together this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.